Welcome to Pilot Progressive Party here, and I got Bob Blake with me and Wendy Pilot on the way here. Bob, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, a lot of things going on here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. We got the PUC happening that just happened, wrapped up with the 3-1 vote. And I have a little clip from Winona LaDuke. And we have the Iowa caucus that is still, we're at 86% now.
Is that 86%? That's where we're at now?
Yeah. It only took 2 days.
Only took 2 days.
I think I could have counted. We loved Iowa when we were there,
though. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
We were down there for the Native American caucus. And we had a great time, and it was fun hobnobbing with the president wannabes.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of good people down there, too.
Right.
We met.
Jeez. And then the State of the Union. What the heck was that last night?
Oh, wow. That was... I don't know what to say about that.
We'll talk a little bit. And hey, we got Wendy here, and she just made it here.
Just walked in the back door. Just walked in the studio. I still have my jacket on. Wow. I didn't watch the State of the Union last night. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I watched reruns of Shark Tank.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was AOC, too. She wasn't there either.
That's right.
You and Alexandria. Ocasio-Cortez share a lot in common there because she did attend.
That's right. And did you see them all wearing white because of suffrage? All the women, the Democratic women were wearing white because they were representing the history of suffrage and I guess the anniversary of the women's vote. And then, too, we're going to talk a little bit about the
impeachment. I did see that before I shut it off.
Oh, Wendy. Right on. Wait, good save there, kiddo. And then we'll talk a little bit about the impeachment and how we like Mitt Romney now because of that speech and the vote he voted against it. And so it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitt, he stood behind what he believes in. I mean, he's a Mormon, right? He laid it out there and basically, said, these are my values and I'm sticking by them. And, I got to tell you, good on Mitt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, Rush, the show last night and the impeachment and Wendy, you didn't miss anything. It was an amazing thing where it was almost, I've never heard, how bipartisan the State of the Union was. We had yelling of 4 more years, and we also had the Republic or the Democrat. That was from the Republicans and the Democrats. They were hooting and hollering too. What's happened here in 3 years? What's happened?
Well, it's the whole thing of dying empires, right? This is what happens in dying empires. It's give them the games, you know what I mean? And this is what's happening. Like, we don't want to pay attention to, our infrastructure. We got water pipes that got lead. I mean, look at Flint, this is going on across the country. We've got deficits. I mean, we've got, we can't pay our teachers. I mean, this is what happens in dying empires. What happened to Rome? Give them the games.
Well, I don't know if you guys out there and know that I'm Native American, but I always tell my kids, democracy is only, this is only a test, and get ready to take over your land again, because this might not last another 50 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, are we coming up on the amount of time that empires stay alive?
Something like that. But, man, how much it's changed in 3 years. We went from a class act to I don't even like talking about them. I really don't like talking about them.
Yeah. It's just like any airtime we give that whole thing is just bad. But I mean, it is our reality and it's what we are living in right now. And I mean, it really is unbelievable. And we're better than this.
Absolutely. Wendy, what do you got over there? I know you still have your cat scarf on and you're holding on to both the dogs.
I have two dogs on my lap and my coat's still on. But Rush Limbaugh got an award last night.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Okay.
Now, we just want to be a little careful about that because he has just been diagnosed with cancer. Yes, I did. And we don't want to act like he has over the years. But I remember hearing him on radio and he would call feminists feminazis. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talked to, I put that quote up on Facebook and Twitter last night about him in 1993 saying, all this misinformation, because he has like 4 or 5 million people listen to him. The Democrat or Republicans bow down to him.
Well, I mean, he was like kind of the start of this whole, like, you know, fake news, you know, hysteria, Alex Jones. I mean, they all kind of started off of from him and everything that he was kind of stoking out there. And I mean, now look at where it's gone. I mean, it really has like planted all these, you know, not fact, I mean, but all these like lies into people's minds now. And it's just like everything is fake news now. And he was the start of that, though.
Yeah, he was. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but do you remember, you know, what really was the start of this was what was his name? Morton. He was on TV and he used to smoke cigarettes and yell at people. That was like the beginning.
The Morton Downey Show.
Yes.
Was that,
you remember that?
Vaguely.
Oh, sorry, he's young guy. But that guy was crazy, and he would just get in people's face, and all civility left off. And then Oprah, before she became Oprah, she used to have a show too, where she would like not be nice to people and have all these things. And then one year she said, "I'm going to change this, and I know I just have to, because I can't have, you know, you dating your brother, sister, or whatever, those kind of shows anymore." And she says, "I'm going to make a move, and I'm going to be all positive." And she got bigger.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. I'm just reading something right here from Mitt Romney, and there's a quote here, and he said that this has been the most difficult decision I have ever made in my life, and that is because he is going against the president and wants to convict the president, and it's really upsetting to him, and he's really having a hard time doing this, but this is what he has to stand by, like what you said. And I'm reading this from the Atlantic. It was just updated today at 2:00.
Well, Matt McNeil played the live tape, and it was like 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we remember he's a Republican, he's Mormon, mm-hmm. and he's not going against his convictions because he said he was sworn in, mm-hmm. and he believes in God. And it was powerful. Anyone get a chance to listen to that?
Yeah, please. I want to listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the thing about Mitt is that, I mean, he's, you know, he's not against, like, the president, I mean, you know, the office, mm-hmm. you know, and he's not against the Republican Party. He's against this person, mm-hmm. and I think that the way that this person is conducting himself while in the office and how dramatically he's setting the office and I think this country back is what Mitt is against. And so I don't really think, you know, to sit there and say Mitt's against Republicans, Mitt's against the president. No, he is against this person in there. And that's what I see.
And before we got on, heard a lot of backlash from the other Republicans calling, you know, Mitt, he's not with them. He's not a real Republican and things like that. But he's not going to have any problems because they love him in Utah. So, and he's been elected. So what is 6 years? So he's going to be, even if 45 gets reelected, he'll be in the Senate just as long. So he don't care. He doesn't worry about tweets or anything like that from 45.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's very successful businessman. I think it's Bain Capital is what he ran. He's, you know, he's done a lot of incredible things. So, I mean, he said he doesn't, you know, need to answer to anybody, but stand by his convictions. And that's exactly what he's doing right now.
Hey, I'm here with Bob Blake, and I love to say it, Bob Blake from Red Lake and Solar Bear. And he's got a lot of information that we're going to talk about in the next hour. And then along with Wendy Pilot, my sidekick. Oh, she doesn't like that. And we have a show on the weekend called Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. And, I'm wondering if we can play from the PUC just the rest of this hour, Eric, if we can play Winona LaDuke's talking to the PUC before the vote was 3-1 to keep the pipelines going. So I wonder if we could play that, Eric.
So what you have is a Canadian multinational corporation. Let's be really clear about this. Enbridge is not born in the USA. Enbridge is a Canadian multinational corporation that has a really big mix. They have 6 lines across the Leech Lake Reservation and through the heart of our territory. And in those lines, contrary to the representations by people who don't even go there, it's not all good. There's oil. There's damage. We can't pick medicines on those lines. You don't pick in those areas because they're dead. We know what a dead area looks like from an Enbridge pipeline already. And so we would like them to clean up their old mess. The idea of abandonment doesn't suit me too well. I have abandonment complexes and issues. I feel like corporations should clean up their mess before they go bankrupt and leave the mess for everyone else. Just look at Purdue Pharma. Or maybe we want to look at Union Carbide with the Bhopal incident. What you have is corporation after corporation that goes bankrupt and leaves the mess for the people like us. The shippers will tell you that they'll pay for it, but in fact, we, the people of Minnesota and the Anishinaabe, are already paying for it. The third point is the issue of greed versus need. Everybody who has testified already has said that when the demand projections were in 3 years ago or over these times, it was one scenario. It was a scenario also, quite frankly, predicated on greed. This is, as I said, a Canadian corporation, and Canada, without getting too far into this, I'm actually an economist by training, has no economic plan. What its plan is to keep mining and to keep sucking oil out, in spite of all of the problems it has caused to the world and to Canada itself in terms of all ecological and social impacts. So why should Minnesota be dealing with Canada's dysfunctional economic strategies? Why should we? Just the price of oil itself, $82 a barrel in the tar sands versus $43 a barrel in the Permian Basin. This stuff is uneconomical and it's extreme oil. That would be why the Koch brothers got out of that this last summer. Why the Koch brothers, the single largest holders of tar sands assets, sold their assets at a great loss, couldn't even sell them to a Chinese corporation, had to sell them to some other Canadians. My point is, and the point that has been presented previously, is that mine after mine is not coming online in the tar sands. Enbridge is saying, we'll bail you out and get you a pipeline. It is not going to work because there are two other pipelines, that are still possibly in the making. There's not enough oil to fit these pipelines. That ends up with a situation that we find ourselves in today, which is, one, the opportunity foregone costs that we are all going to face here in Minnesota because we are going down a really bad route and continue on that route. Quite frankly, the fact that Enbridge is the single largest energy consumer in the state of Minnesota should be something of concern as we pump sludge through those lines. That's a lot of energy. That puts a lot of demand on people in the north to produce more energy or to allow more siting of more power plants. Each substation, 2 megawatts worth of power. Please, this is a set of economic choices that make absolutely no sense. In the meantime, as others have said, I would love to see these guys in blue go to work. How about they fix the water system of Rice Lake Village where the water is orange? Or maybe they could go put some pipes up in Flint, Michigan. Or maybe they could prepare this state for climate change related disaster that will probably arrive this spring with the floods that will ensue as all of your water infrastructure begins to crumble. There are a lot of really good jobs that should be made for our people in the trades to fix things and not to make more problems. The pipe that they're proposing to put here will look exactly the same as their old pipes 30 years from now, and what we will have instead of having solved problems is in fact more liability. In the end, aside from talking about renewable energy coming our way, you know, as I expressed, the solutionary rail, the idea of going by rail instead of going by car, the fact is that we have this opportunity now to be visionary in Minnesota. I like to be from a visionary state. I don't want to be the last state to quit shackling myself to fossil fuels. I want to be the state that denies a certificate of need for a project that is expensive for great and continuing risk on all of us, particularly the Anishinaabe.
That was Winona LaDuc, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party.
Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn is proud to announce a delicious addition. You can now combine their famous tenderloin burger and fries with the renowned Blanton's, the original single-barrel Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey, for only $25. But the Burgers and Blanton's experience is only for the month of February, so gather your friends and stop in at the historic, warm and comfortable Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn to enjoy Burgers and Blanton's for only $25 during February. More at NicoletIslandInn.com.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
I'm Dr. Thomas Adams, President and CEO of Better Futures Minnesota. We're a social enterprise dedicated to rebuilding lives through housing, workforce development, health and family engagement, and coaching supports that give men the skills and relationships they need to succeed. Better Futures Minnesota engages men who had a history of incarceration, homelessness, poverty, untreated mental and physical health challenges to help them achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. Visit us at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com to learn how you can support our enterprise.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law, and I've got you covered. I provide trusted legal advice in wills and trusts, supplemental and special needs trusts, powers of attorney, health care directives, probate, financing long-term care, medical assistance planning, and prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. These are areas of law that are intensely personal in nature, and I don't take the responsibility of providing counsel around such issues lightly. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we believe everyone deserves a fair shot. We believe in personal redemption and second chances, and that those who are dedicated to change and hard work should have the opportunity to achieve success and make a positive impact in the community. The men we embrace and serve have made mistakes, but they aren't bad people. We work with men who take responsibility for their past and are committed to doing better, who work to create a better life for themselves, their family, and the community. Learn more at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
Hey, welcome to Pilot's Progressive Party. I'm here with Bob Blake and Wendy Pilot. And Bob, you had some thoughts about Winona's little speech to the PUC.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just love Winona. So, I mean, you know, anything she says is, you know, she's always usually spot on. And but I mean, you know, she's hit on something that I thought was really interesting. And she talked about, you know, pipelines, and she talked about, you know, our water, you know, clean water. And, you know, I was just thinking about, like, you know, when this fire out in like Paradise City out in California, I mean, you know, people are at 14,000 homes or something like that. And, you know, they're not talking about all the PVC piping that was damaged, and the water supply is like no longer, you know, like for that town. Like, you don't have a water supply now because those pipes were burnt. And what's going to happen is, you know, as we go through climate change and we get flooding, we get this damage to our pipes, we're going to have problems with just clean water in general. Without water, there's no life. And I mean, you know, she was absolutely right. Like, we should be focusing in on our water infrastructure and obviously clean energy. I mean, these are two things that can supply tons of jobs and economic development, especially for the Northland, instead of this 6 month building of a pipeline where people are going to go in there, build this thing, and they're not going to have a job after that.
Right. And I think one of the things that just freaks me out locally when it comes to water specifically is with the way the climate is now, all these city lakes being closed all the time. That never happened before.
Well, yeah, and you know where that is? That's because of the algae and because of the because it's getting so hot. Because you know, we've got these dead zones that are turning up all over the world now. Mm-hmm. We have massive dead zones where fish, animals can no longer swim or live because there's no oxygen in those areas, and that's climate change. That's the climate crisis. Right. And here's the thing: here in Minnesota, people in Minnesota, it's gonna get hotter because why? We have 10,000 lakes, and what does humidity do? It makes it hotter, and we're going to get hotter here.
Yeah. You know, we're on the Mississippi River and we see an area, all the time, the Mississippi River and the Minnesota River, where they both meet. And, the water is totally different. You could definitely see the change. And most of the Minnesota River water change, the way it looks, is from agriculture runoff that goes into the river. So all these pesticides and fertilizer and everything that's running off from the farms and agriculture, these
and big factory too, farms. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's poisoning our water.
Well, I talked about this when I was running for city council, and one of the things that I wanted to say, you know, as a city council person, I want to say, you know, why do I have treaty rights that allow me for clean water, but all you people here in St. Paul don't have those same rights? Why am I protected and you're not? And so, you know, the point being is that we're a headwater state. We are the capital city. We should give personhood rights to the Mississippi. And because that body of water goes down and it feeds the rest of this country clean water. And I mean, if we're just, you know, we have an obligation to our fellow man to keep this water clean.
Yes, fellow man and fellow future generations.
And what I thought you were going to say, Wendy, too, is that the other beings, too. Because we forget about the other beings, you know, the animals.
Animals who drink the water, who use the water, who live by the water, who rely on that water for life.
And so, if we think in our way that they're our relatives.
Yes, absolutely. And circling back to what she said, that's what she was talking about right there. We need to have clean water. We need to have clean water because we are running out of it actually around the world. And so, I mean, this is so important. And she's absolutely right. We can create so many good jobs this way. We can do the right thing. We can be a visionary state, like she said. And we just need to get back to it. I mean, think about this. Humphrey was the guy who was initiating the civil rights movement, right? To John F. Kennedy, who then got it to Lyndon Johnson, right? I mean, we can do the same thing here with personhood rights of the Mississippi. I mean, these are the good ideas that can come out of the state. And right, we can be a leader. We don't need these pipelines.
No, we don't. Hey, and for the last minute here, we went a little long on the first segment, and I just want to give you a quick update. There's 86% of the Iowa caucus results are in, and Buttigieg is still ahead at 26.7% with 11 delegates, and Bernie is at 25.4, where he gets 11 delegates, and Elizabeth Warren is at 18.3%, and she has 5 delegates, but nobody else. A two-term vice president didn't get any delegates. That's that and Buttigieg are the big stories, I think, in Iowa.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, and the thing I got to say about that is like, hey, got nothing against Iowa. Okay. But I mean, I also kind of feel like maybe this country's kind of moved on too from that. And I mean, let's face it, like 2016, who do we caucus for? We caucus for Bernie. State of Minnesota was pulling for Bernie. And maybe Minnesota's the new bellwether state.
That'd
you know
be what? Nice.
We're definitely more diverse than Iowa. Iowa is not diverse. 80% of Iowa's population is white.
And I'm just saying, maybe we moved on, guys.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about that next hour here. Hey, you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and I'm here with Bob Blake and Wendy Pilot, and we'll be right back.
This week's featured idealist is Ta-Nehisi Coates, the author of Between the World and Me, a great writer who makes you think. The big interview is with the founder of a Sioux Falls nonprofit that's protecting young transgender humans. And in my C block, I share about where I spoke out against othering conservative religious humans. Yes, I did that. LE 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's featured idealist is Ta-Nehisi Coates, the author of Between the World and Me, a great writer who makes you think. The big interview is with the founder of a Sioux Falls nonprofit that's protecting young transgender humans. And in my C-block, I share about where I spoke out against othering conservative religious humans. Yes, I did that. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
When you need legal assistance, let the Minnesota Lawyer and Referral Information Service help you find the right attorney. It's a new and enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in employment law, divorce, bankruptcy, DUI, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
This President's Day weekend, bring your family to the Osprey Wilds Environmental Learning Center, formerly known as the Audubon Center of the North Woods, on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone. The all-inclusive family weekend has locally sourced meals and winter activities like ice climbing, wildlife programming, skiing, and much more. Reserve your spot at OspreyWilds.org or call 320-245-2648. Osprey Wilds. Experience your environment.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers to find the perfect Valentine's Day gift for your significant other. They have a wide variety of books and lots of opportunities to meet local authors, like Chris McCormick on Wednesday, February 5th at 7 p.m. His new book, Gimmicks, follows two cousins from Soviet Armenia to Southern California and into the contrasting worlds of militant extremism and professional wrestling. That's Next Chapter Booksellers for the book lover in your life on Valentine's Day. Located on Grand and Snelling in St. Paul and at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
February is the month of love. Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. And when's the last time you gave your carpet some love and attention? Not only is your carpet one of the biggest investments in your home, but it's also the biggest air filter. So breathe better this month and get three rooms Zero Res Clean starting at only $119. And because love has no limits, Zero Res will throw in a free hallway cleaning and will take 10% off your entire bill if you get your air ducts and carpet cleaned together. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 12. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 28 and a 30% chance of snow at night with a low around 20. Friday, the snow is likely to continue with a high of 27 and a low around 16.
Don't miss the Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Up to 200 vendors, four speaker stages, giveaways, and more. The Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I have Bob Blake here and Wendy Pilot, and we're just like roundtabling it here. And again, we were talking a little bit about the Iowa caucus, and Wendy had a great question. Go ahead, Wendy, ask us, and we'll pretend we know the answer.
Well, what was my question?
Where did Buttigieg
come from? Like, he wasn't in every poll that they took all around the United States. He was not number one in any poll. And then we go to Iowa, and guess who's number one? Pete.
Well, he's a Midwestern guy.
But how did that happen? That's my question.
He's a Midwestern guy. Biden's kind of lost a step. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had to go back to Washington the last 2 weeks because of the impeachment hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a combination of a lot of things, I think.
He's just young and fresh, and he's got a lot of things going for him. I mean, I don't have anything against him. I'm just wondering why he's number one now.
Yeah, I like I said, I mean, he's the corporate Democrat guy now, and I mean, last time it was Hillary, you know, she was the corporate person for them, and
is he taking any PAC money?
Oh yeah, he is. He's having big wine parties that you spend. Remember the last debate they talked about that. I might have him excused for wine parties. Wendy.
Yeah, he's having these big donors who's got all, you know, they got the Wall Street money and, yeah. You know, they want to keep the status quo, you know, because, you know, they know that Bernie is an absolute, do we want to
go down this road in the show right now about Bernie?
Well, let me just say this. I just saw somebody post this, and what they said was every candidate should wear a jacket like NASCAR does with their advertisers on them so we know who owns them. That's what I would like to say, and I would like to see who is owning Buttigieg right now. I'm going to try to figure that out.
We know
nobody owns Bernie.
Right. And Warren, unless just recently, I think I've heard her taking PAC money. But again, that could be fake news. Somebody could correct me on that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. But yeah, we know for sure Bernie doesn't take any PAC money.
Right. And well, and let's talk about this for a second. And let's take a deep breath. And people can call in, too, if they'd like, because what I'm about to say will be a little... I am so sick of hearing about Amy. She's at 12% right now, so I'll give her that. But she would be on the news all the time, national, locally, that she's moving up and grooving. She's in fifth place. There's been a blackout on Bernie by all the corporate media. Everybody's been blacking him out. And one of the questions I heard this morning on NPR, which, again, I have corporate public radio, they kept on hammering this person they were interviewing, saying, well, Bernie failed in Iowa because he spent all that money and he only got second place. I'm going, give me a break. He failed. He got second place because he spent a lot of money. What other kind of angles, Bernie, are they going to go and attack Bernie that he's not electable, but yet he has people following him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bernie is, you know, he hasn't changed in 40 years. I mean, these, you know, you go back to some of these old, you know, I mean, he was talking about this stuff back in like 70s or something.
Before it got hip.
You know? And we're really counting on the young people right now who aren't even 18 yet, that will be 18 when the election comes about. And they're rooting for Bernie, and they're really in, you know, they're for Bernie. So,
well, you know, people worry about, you know, universal health care and paying for school. They're attacking him, and people have been drinking the Kool-Aid and hearing all these short little bites.
Well, yeah, and universal health care, I mean, that was a Republican plan. I mean, that was the Republicans that had that. That wasn't something that was, like, you know, thought up by Bernie. I mean, you know, that was Republicans were talking about that a long time ago.
You know, and two, they talk about this, you know, last night, 45 was talking about there's no way that there's going to be socialism, you know, and I'll fight that and blah, blah, blah.
So what are streetlights? What are police officers? What are firemen? What are teachers?
One of the greatest presidents. We brought FDR. I mean, we wouldn't have Social Security. We wouldn't have all these things that we have now if FDR wasn't socialist. Right. You know, I mean, it's not a bad word when we could figure out really easily how to bail out the banks in 2008 and 2009. But you can't help people that are on the streets that are homeless. I mean, something's messed up. And I mean, that's
a reason why he was elected three times a president, right? I mean, he had a 90% tax rate on the corporate,
right?
On corporate corporations, you know.
FDR
did this, you know, and this is how he was able to pay for all these great programs and all these things. And I mean, that's exactly where we got to get back to again. I mean, you can't have someone like I think it was Warren Buffett who said, "I can't be a billionaire and pay less than my secretary, you know, on my taxes." Right. It just doesn't work. The math doesn't work. And as you've seen the deficit go up from Donald Trump here, I'm going to lower the deficit. No, it's only gone up with you as president.
Way up. And it's always gone down with the Democratic president. If you look at that, you know, Obama had a surplus, and so did Clinton. And it's all the Republicans that give away all these taxes to their rich buddies. And then all of a sudden, yeah, the cat agrees, we're in a deficit, you know, deficit spending. Again, you know, I just.
Can we talk about immigration for one second?
Yeah.
So I can't say that I watched it last night because I did not, but everybody was talking about it in work at work today, and somebody was saying that 45 was talking about one immigrant. I think he was in New York, and he raped somebody and he killed somebody, and he made
92-year-old woman
this big fear mongering talk about one immigrant who came here and caused that problem, and now all his followers think that all immigrants kill 92-year-olds and rape people.
Well, the whole thing last night was not for the country, it was for his base. Everything that he spoke on, and that was just to fire him up. You know, we can go, who does all the shootings? They're white people 30, 40 years old. I mean, let's get real. And then, so fear-mongering.
Yeah, he's this race baiter. You know, Weimar Germany, people think about it. You know, this is how it started. This is how fascism starts. You know what I mean? It just starts with these little rips or these little, you know, antagonistic, you know, just like, you know, immigrants are this or that. And then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, we've got brown shirts walking the streets. I mean, seriously, people, we got to wake up. We did last year.
Right. Hey, one thing I want to bring up too is when I was talking about the media, corporate media, is we outnumber people. Why are we worried about turning Republicans into Democrats? Why are we worrying about that? We have 40 million people, again, that didn't vote, that voted during Obama's presidencies, that didn't vote the last presidential election. We have 100 million of people that are able to vote. We outnumber them. We just need to quit listening to corporate media and go out and vote for who we want to vote for.
Right. There's no way we're going to change anybody's mind. There's no way.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to get out
Maybe
there.
Maybe your vote. Sister's Wendy. We can change her. No, never mind.
No, we've got to get out there. We've got to get out there and vote. I mean, this is, you know, social problem, man. We need a social movement, and this is exactly what needs to happen right now. We've got the climate crisis upon us. This is real. This is real what we're dealing with, and we got to get these people out of power. That means everybody, if you feel like you need to run for public office, get out there, run for public office, get out there. If you start a nonprofit, whatever it is, like Robert says, run for office, be a community leader, do whatever it is that you got to do. Let them know that we're here, and hate to sound like the guy on the what was that movie? I'm not going to take it anymore.
Network.
Get out there. I'm not going to take it anymore. That's exactly where we got to be at.
Well, again, too, I know we didn't touch much about that, but tonight they voted in the impeachment. We talked about Mitt Romney, but, you know, all party lines, we're in the twilight zone right now, and we need people to get engaged and vote these people up.
Well, you know, let's not forget about, you know, Citizens United, right? I mean, let's not forget about what this has done to our politics. You know, and how it has bought and sold our politicians. I'm sorry, people, but, you know, like our politicians are bought and sold right now. And, you know, when you're running for public office, you need money to run. I mean, all the way down to even the smallest offices of like city council and stuff, you need money to run. And unfortunately, it's the ones that got the money that get elected. And we've got to somehow take back our democracy. And we knew, and we were foretold that Citizens United was going to do this to us. And we're seeing the effects of it right now, especially once you get foreign countries that are now are coming in here and
putting money on our election,
buying PACs, you know, they're buying their own political action committees now. I mean, yeah.
So we got to just be totally upfront and see a call the kettle black if we see it. And that's why it's good here, because, you know, even if we get the Democrats in, we still need to resist, divest, and join a group, because again, money. What's that Bruce Springsteen line? Poor man want to be rich man want to be king, and a king ain't satisfied till he rules everything. I mean, that's becomes people's mentality if they're not put in check.
Well, yeah, and I'm not telling everybody to go out and do something crazy, but I do believe in civil disobedience, and like this is where we are to that point now where, you know, this has just gotten to the point where, I mean, this is what they listen to. We've got to go protest. We've got to be there. We've got to hear our voice. We've got to march. We've got to be at these PUC meetings. We got to let them know that we're watching you, and people have to show up. And I'm sorry, but this is what has to happen now, because this is where we're being pushed to.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think if you are engaged and you still feel like you need to, I mean, we give money to certain candidates, and but now it's at a point where we have to go out there and do something.
No, we really do. We really do. I mean, you think about, you know, pipelines, you think about all these other things that are happening to us. And I mean, they don't care. I mean, they don't care about what's happening in the climate, what with climate change and what it's going to do to our kids. I mean, you know, I saw a report that like the Generation Z or Generation X is like the last generation that's going to live a full lifespan.
Right.
Like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, people, we got to wake up. We've got to let our politicians know that we need policy, good policy that's going to have renewable energy, that's going to, you know, focus in on our on clean water.
Yep.
You know, and just that we want better politicians.
Yeah, but right now the big money is coming from Enbridge and all those companies that don't care about the environment.
That's right. And that's why we got this show and other shows. You're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party. I'm here with Bob Blake and Wendy Pilot, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hi, it's Tom, and if you're struggling with what to get her this Valentine's Day, stop in at Continental Diamond for their Lila necklace. Starting at $5.95, this bezel solitaire necklace features a contemporary side diamond she's sure to love, and it's only on hand at Continental Diamond. Or surprise her with a pair of diamond studs available in many sizes and prices. So cherish her with Continental Diamond, your Valentine's Day headquarters, located in St. Louis Park, adjacent to West End, or at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design, and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site, and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
The local advertisers you hear on AM950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
There are so many times in life when it's important to have a plan. I'm attorney Rachel Schroman, and I can tell you from experience that so much pain can be prevented with an estate plan or an arrangement for long-term care costs. I work with families with many different dynamics and budgets, and my goal is always to give them peace of mind while helping them protect their legacy. Learn more about me at schromanlaw.com. That's S-C-H-R-O-M-E-N-law.com.
Hey, this is Robert. You're listening to Robert Pilot, and you're listening to Progressive Voice Minnesota. This is Pilot's Progressive Party, and I'm here with Bob Blake and Wendy Pilot, and we've been just roundtabling it tonight, and it's been pretty exciting. But I want to give Bob an opportunity to talk about a few things that are coming up in the community, and that's why how I wrangled you in here to promote what's going on. So do you want to talk about a few things that are happening?
Yeah, a couple of things happening. This Saturday, the People's Move-In Assembly is going to be happening over North Minneapolis from 10 to 2 p.m. At Sammy's on Broadway. And it's just a great event where basically we're bringing the community together, and we're going to be talking about community solar. We're going to be talking about community banking. We're going to be talking about community land trusts, you know, gardening. I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, solutions that are going to come from the community of what they want to see, because, you know, the corporations don't always have the answers for us. So this is what the People's Movement Assembly is all about. We'd like to get this across the country, but it's going, but we're going to be doing it over North Minneapolis. And this is our third annual People's Movement Assembly. So you can go to, you can check it out on Facebook, or you can go to Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. You can look at their website and you can get the information there. And then one more thing, Robert, we do have our Climate Justice Night Gala at the museum.
Yeah.
So Minnesota,
we bought a half a table.
Oh man. Thank you so much. Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light invites you to Climate Justice Night at the museum, our annual celebration and fundraiser to support interfaith action to address the climate crisis. Join us Thursday, March 5th at the Science Museum from 6 to 9 p.m. for an inspiring evening of speakers, poetry, African drum and dance. Tickets and information at www.minipl.org. So please, people, come out, support this wonderful event. We're going to have some great speakers, some great people that we're all going to be talking with, and everybody that's involved in around environmental, social, and economic justice will be there.
I forgot to tell Wendy we bought a half a table. That she looked surprised.
I was like, oh, really? Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't you buy a whole table?
We can do that. We can accommodate
you. I don't have enough rent.
Who is the father who on The Sound of Music? What was his name? Do you know? Okay. Anyway, they're on Facebook. I'm just looking at this now. So there's a picture of him shredding a swastika flag, right next to it is Pelosi ripping up Trump's speech. I love it.
Okay, Wendy's got the jokes going on. I love it.
Pelosi.
Oh yeah, at the same
classic.
Time.
Yeah,
at the same
classic.
Time, it's side by side.
Well, you know what I heard too.
That's fantastic.
And what I would I'd like to repeat a little bit is I kind of heard this on the Matt McNeil show earlier tonight and today. And one of the things that was really interesting, everybody's talking about her ripping up the paper, and they're not talking about. I mean, they brought in this African. I mean, they did whatever they could do. They brought in an African American 100-year-old dude and his great grandson, and he wants to be in the space force, and just did all these crazy things like it was a
show.
Yeah,
it was.
And
a show.
So people don't remember all that now. I mean, they brought. I mean, thank God it was nice and everything, but was this the place? They gave Rush Limbaugh a Medal of Honor that his wife put on him. I mean, not a Medal of Honor, but they gave him a medal and they stopped the whole show. It was just amazing. He was surprised. And then they had, they did one of those things where they brought in a soldier and they surprised his wife and his little kids that he hadn't seen. And it was just like, it was unbelievable. But people are talking about Nancy Pelosi ripping his speech and not the show they put on.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what he is. He's a showman. I mean, he's the guy that is like.
I thought Mark Burnett produced this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the talk show. He's the talk show guy. He is the showman. And that's and that's what he does. And he puts on a show. And that's what people, you know, I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, what does that say about our society, too? Because we're so addicted to these reality shows and these daytime dramas. I mean, it's just unfortunate, man. This is where our president has come. Our president is Donald Trump. Oh my God.
You know, we thought it was bad when Reagan was president because he was an actor and everyone was like, oh my God, he's an actor. He's acting like president. And by the way, I feel like that's when the middle class started going away by that president. And all of a sudden he's become a god to the Republicans. I mean, I remember Ollie North, and Ollie North should be in prison. And I mean, he's got his own talk show. And I mean, it's just amazing how all these years go by. But that was the beginning of the attack. I remember remember the attack on the middle class, which is union centric. He went, Reagan went after the union.
Well, yeah, PATCO. He broke PATCO, the airline controllers union, and that's what he did. He broke the unions. That's what he did. But that was where this whole stupid neoliberalism, Ayn Rand philosophy came from. You know, and that's what really set, I think, our country on a bad path, was because when you start looking at all those people that, you know, were running these Fortune 500 companies like John Thiel, you know, and you look at what Alan Greenspan was one of her like students. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, and Ayn Rand in the book, The Fountainhead and all that stuff, it's all like racist built. I mean, it's all racism, like shadow racism in there. And I mean, and these are what our like leaders who are running our institutions got their train of economic thinking from. You know what I mean? And it's just terrible.
And I don't want to hear anybody, at least in this studio, say, hey, you know, these politicians stink. The Democrats, you know, have their issues, but the Democrats are fighting the fight. They're fighting against this. Whenever the Republicans become powerful, we lose stuff. And that isn't what happens when the Democrats are. They're trying to find their way and be with white guilt or whatever's happening. They're trying to do the right thing. But if you look at history, when we had a Democratic president, things got done in the positive. We have a Republican president, they take away stuff. And then they start, you know, going, have using us against each other. There's people that voted for this president who should have never voted for him if they were in the right mind.
Well, that's what Socrates said, right? The father of democracy. Socrates said the reason why he hates democracy is because if you get a bunch of people that don't know what they're voting for, then they're liable to vote themselves in something that they don't want, you know, and that will ruin democracy. And that's exactly what we just got with this guy.
Yeah. Wendy, do you got anything for us this last minute?
I'm lost. I have nothing else to say, Robert.
You're not lost.
I've said it all.
You're right at home. No, really. And it all...
I feel disheartened. I feel...
Don't. Because this election, and we're going to have things to do, and this election in the next 6-7 months, we're going to be all kicking back, kicking butt, and resisting.
Okay.
The stuff's going to happen, like the Million Woman March, that's all revving up again and ready to go, because this cannot happen.
In our family, you are the optimist, and I am the pessimist.
And I want to say, too, you know, we've got good people out there that are running for office up there in District 2, you know, District 5, Senate districts. We've got Native people that are running for Charles Dolson. I mean, you know, I forgot the other guy's name from White Earth, but, you know, we've got good people that are out there. So, yeah, let's take back. Let's take it back. We can have a Democratic Senate, a Democratic House, and a Democratic governor. We can do great things here in Minnesota.
Yeah, we can. That's and right. Mary Kunish Podine, she's running for senator too. That's District 64.
Aaron Murphy.
Go Mary.
Take it back.
Yes. Yeah, right. Hey, great show. Thank you, Bob Blake, Wendy Pilot. You've been listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and I'm Robert Pilot. We'll be back next week at the same time, same bat channel.